Let us pray. Father, we give you the glory. Father God, we thank you for your word. Your word is holy. Holy to heal us, to restore us, to give us the strength and the courage to look for tomorrow. And Lord, as we meditate upon your word, I ask that may your Holy Spirit open our hearts and minds to understand and to receive and to believe. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Please do take your seats. Oh, a slight problem here. Let me sort of. Probably some child put a little platform to stand and to speak in this one, but that would have been a little bit me going too high. Psalm 22. Well, this year, actually, this is the fourth sermon in this church from this psalm. I preached twice in February this year, earlier in the 8 o'clock service today, Becky preached, and now me again. But luckily, Lynn looked at me, otherwise the young lady so much distracted me that I thought I was leading the service. Lynn was going to preach, but when Lynn looked at me, then it's, I'm preaching actually. Well, it is one of the most powerful messianic psalm in our Bible. Centuries before the event of the cross took place, the writer described the suffering of the Messiah so accurately that it seemed as though he was an eyewitness. It was for such a powerful scene of the cross here in this psalm that in February, when I preached, I said something like this. There are all sorts of speculations about the authorship of this psalm, but to me, it so clearly relates to the experience of the cross that it seems as though if Christ penned it after his resurrection from the dead. I am not going to preach on this psalm today from the messianic point of view. If that you want to hear, then you need to download sermon from our website. Becky, this morning, powerful message she gave about that when we see others hurting around us, and we who have received the light of Christ, that encouraging us how we should be there to be with them, to show them the way of life through Christ Jesus. But I am going to focus on two things. And my hope is that we will be able to listen and respond. First, I would like from this psalm think or express my view that as Christians, that when we are hurting, when we are down right in the pit, there is no reason why we should not express it. Our faith, our commitment, our saying that I'm a born again in Christ Jesus does not mean that we can't be ever hurt. And if we are hurt, if the going is tough, it is absolutely fine to express. Psalm, as I mentioned earlier, is messianic, but Becky also mentioned this in the morning, that it is also the pain expressed by the author here. If the authors, like the author of this psalm, David, we so much look to, and we should learn from them that it is okay to express when we are hurting. And the second, I would like us to be encouraged from this psalm, that going may be tough, but we still can have faith and trust in the goodness of the Lord. For as far as I'm concerned, his promises, his goodness never fails. They are new every morning. Let's now then get on with it. The reality of our today's culture is that even when it is going hard, it is tough, yet we want to say all is well. I am all fine. But the truth of the matter is, and I believe that I'm not unique in it, most of us, we know that there are hardships. We know that the faith journey is not always that easy. We know that at times God seems somewhere far, far, far away from our prayers. There are times we know that it feels as though the heavens are shut. And who knows, like me, that some of you perhaps have been brave enough and like the writer of this psalm had said, my God, why have you forsaken me? As far as I'm concerned, there is nothing righteous to deny that at times faith journey is tough. My own faith pilgrimage experiences that there are some mountaintop experiences, brilliant experiences, but most my days, weeks, months, and years have been down in the valley. Maybe I am the one that who have spent too much time in the valley, but then you look around and if your personal experience does not shake our faith, then there are things, situations around us, things we do observe, that holding on to faith, if nothing else, at least feels challenging. I mean that who doesn't feel hurt when we see suffering humanity? Who doesn't feel the pain, the agony, when them in the middle of those disasters, children wander around helplessly? And who does not ache when hear or see an innocent child suffer abuse at the hand of those that whom the child trusted most? These are the realities of life, and as Christians, we cannot just, you know, box ourselves away from these things. Yet, my hope is that when we are faced with trouble, or the circumstances of the world, or the situations that hurt our humanity, that we must always remember as Christians. Number one, that it is okay, it is absolutely fine to question, why do you let humanity suffer? You know that our generation is not the first generation to seek answers about the suffering. As long as humanity has existed, so long has suffering. And you know that one of the greatest debates, if you ever want to read or see, had gone in the past, is found in the pages of the Bible on the question of suffering. Where do we find that? Whole book of Job is that book wrestling with this question, why do you let your people suffer? Why there is suffering? I earlier said that as long as humanity has been around, so has long been suffering. I guess many of you know that the book of Job is the first book of the Bible, though it appears later in the Bible. And for that, you can see that for how long humanity has wrestled with this question. And the second I would like to raise, that it is okay to question, and it is also true that at times, or perhaps most of the time, like me, you will not understand the mystery of suffering. You will not get to the grips, perhaps, for the mystery of suffering. If you don't, please don't lose heart or faith. Once again, I want to refer to the book of Job, that people who gathered around Job, they were the finest brains of their time. These were the wisest people of their time. What reason I have to say so? You do read the names of the places where they came from, cross-reference it in the Bible elsewhere, and you will see and you will know that these were the cream of the known world who gathered together to wrestle with the question of suffering. And did they get it sorted out? Did they get it right? The answer is no. Because towards the end of the book, chapter 42, verse 7, God said to the leader of that debate that my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right. But what does that mean, that if we don't get it right? And my third is that it is okay even to get it wrong, but still it is good to question why it is okay that even if it gets wrong, because in the same chapter I referred earlier, chapter 42, God forgave these wise people that they did not fully understand. And now the main thing, what I would like us to learn, my point, fourth point. But at the end of all our quest, when we are in the eye of the storm, let us remember that we are safe in our Savior's hands. We are safe in our Savior's hand. You know that I did not ask David and Jan's permission, but they said it very publicly. They shared their experience publicly, and I hope it is okay to refer to it. They shared with us their experience when they went through a hard time in summer, that how God surrounded them in those terrible, difficult times. Let us learn from their example. The pain and suffering, indeed very real, it was not a concept but real, and yet the knowledge that Savior surrounded. Isn't it wonderful? But perhaps a lot of the pain, a lot of the suffering is just that we too much worry and get concerned that if there is someone out there who is going to respond, like the writer. Our ancestors, they could testify you did great things, but what about me? Why have you forsaken me? If you ever face that, I want you to remember this story, a true story. The story is about the spacecraft named Friendship 7. Many of you would remember in the 60s that was the one. On February the 20th, 1962, at 9:47 a.m., the spacecraft Friendship 7 rose on a pillar of fire, piloted by a lone man, John Glenn, leaving the coast of Florida far behind. The space capsule orbited the Earth three times, traveling 81,000 miles in less than 4 hours. As the craft began its descent, the mission controllers in Houston received a warning signal. A sensor indicated that the capsule's heat shield was in danger of detaching. Now, if the heat shield came loose during re-entry, the capsule would burn and John would be incinerated alive. Because radio waves cannot penetrate plasma, the spacecraft experienced a total communication blackout. John and the mission controllers call it a black hole. The minutes crowd and the suspense mounted in the Houston control room. NASA engineers felt totally helpless. Finally, after 5 minutes of silence, mission controllers heard Glenn's voice crackling over the radio. Friendship 7 to Houston. Shouts of joy shook the control room. John Glenn was coming home. Although neither Glenn nor the mission controllers knew it at the time, the heat shield was absolutely firm and reliable. The fear of John's safety during his black hole experience was unfounded. The point I want to make, my friends, when it seems that God is far, far away, He is silent, He is not listening, remember in Christ, your heat shield is still there, firm and reliable. After all, Jesus Himself said, "Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but cheer up, for I have overcome the world." You know that in the presence of God, Christ is always there with His wounded hands, your name written in those wounds. That is your heat shield. That is how firm, that is how reliable that heat shield is. Don't ever lose heart. But perhaps some little voice inside, even now, is telling you that yes, David, Chan, Napo, Lynn, Becky, they can have such faith. I don't have. But my friends, I want you to know that just remember, none of us have. I don't. Becky hasn't, Lynn hasn't, none of us have. We don't, but Christ have. We can't, but He can. In our today's gospel reading, we heard the story of this rich man. And we read that after the rich man left disappointed, Jesus pointed out that for those who put their trust in their riches, it is hard to enter God's kingdom. His astonished listeners, as we heard earlier, asked, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Stand firm in your faith. Whatever the circumstances you are through or you are in, He knows, and your heat shield is there to protect you. May the Lord increase faith in us.